You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 87 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales, and today I'm joined by William. It's still under the shields. Yes, it is. Hagwood.
As long as I'm not stressed.
Today, we're going to be touching on the PAX Unplugged results, talk about the upcoming First Order and Resistance releases, as well as discuss the hyperspace format. Now, before we get into that, usually this is a section where we talk about our upcoming live streams. We actually don't have one coming for a while, at least when it comes to major events. We always do our league nights every Wednesday, and of course, we record live Tuesday nights. But I want to talk about some major events coming up in the future. So, Will, I had talked about a couple weeks ago that I was going to Poland, right? Like the Polish community won the international, the patrons said, we want you to go to Poland, and they won the vote. But I have been poked continuously since then by the Australians. The Australians won't leave me alone. I said, Dion, mate, what are you doing? I'm like, I gotta talk to my wife and look at the schedule and all that. All right, Australia, I'm coming to your system open.
What?
I'm doing it.
Yeah. Dion,
all right, I will be going down there to stream your system open. It's happening. Get hyped. And please protect me from the kangaroos. Because I'm a little scared.
That's awesome. When is that?
That's not till the first week of September. So that's many months away. But with a trip like that, there's a lot of planning, logistics, and plane tickets are really expensive. So I'm buying it like within the next week. I'm going to be buying my plane tickets after I confirm a couple of things. But I'm going to be going to Australia to stream the system open. I'm super excited and also a little terrified because they talk about all the things in Australia that can kill you, and I'm just a little Puerto Rican man that flies around streaming X-Wing. I don't want to die in Australia, so should be fun. The Fosses will hopefully protect me, and super pumped about that. If you're excited about it, Australia, let me know. Go ahead, post in the comments or type on the Facebook page, smoke signals, whatever. Send a courier, kangaroo, whatever you need to do. Now, let's talk about patrons. This weekend, we just streamed from the Philadelphia System Open, and we got a slew of patrons. Super excited for you guys to join our team. I'm going to give you guys a shout out. So, we got quite a list here. Here we go. I want to give a huge thank you to Andrew Bergerman, Donald Weedman, Chance Crawford, Jose Roque, Ryan Payton, Alex Smittle, Jonathan S., Christopher Giel, Colin Ray, Sean Gibb, Paul Magaha, John Vercher, Thomas Dominguez, Michael Ritchie, Kyle Thompson, Brad Boachford, Sumit Vats, Ernie Harold, Adam Foster, Matthew Mahaney, Kyle Kenyon, John Gardner, Martin Vestgaard, Cody Tier, Bruno Ibanez, Jeffrey Frank, Christopher Stowe, Jason Wilson, Jeffrey Jones, Philip Eek, and Christopher Pye. Thank you guys. You guys are awesome.
Jeez, and that's a lot.
Yeah,
and that's all from PAX?
That's all from PAX. That's basically nice. since our last episode, since last Tuesday. That's everybody who's joined Gold Squadron. Joined us. And I want to say like a huge thank you to them. Honestly, it's the uptick in patron support within the last few months has really is what made it possible for me to say, all right, I want to do something really cool with the additional funds. Let's Gold Squadron World Tour, right? Basically, is two stops a tour? I don't know. Maybe I need to do a third. I don't know if I can. Not this season. But super excited about that. So thank you. We're over 500 right now in patrons. Like you guys, it's amazing. And We got huge things coming. We're getting really close to that that next mark where I basically make this my full-time job. It's pretty awesome. So, because I would love to do this full time, because then I would have more time to do more, way more content for you guys, do more videos, go more places, spend more time with my family rather than working two full time jobs. That'd be nice. Before we go too far, we do have to talk about our t-shirts and hoodies. Those are for sale, but only for 6 more days. Will, it's only for 6 more days. And if you want one...
Just t-shirts?
T-shirts, hoodies, and crew neck sweaters.
Okay? Oh, okay.
You got options. And you only have 6 more days to do it, because we're doing a pre-order. We're sending it all to the manufacturer all at once. Doesn't matter how many we end up getting orders-wise. We're gonna send it. And so those are happening. We should have it within about the estimated date was December 20th from the printers. So I would honestly think it's probably going to come. If it doesn't come at the 20th, it probably will come after Christmas because Christmas. But yeah, super excited. They look really good. And the t-shirts are super comfy. I got a sample of like the t-shirt material. And oh, it's you're going to want to rub that on your face. It feels so nice. Don't get left out. People are going to be looking super fly, and you're going to be sad. And you can use a coupon code. We have a coupon code for you. It's Unplugged 2018. It's the one from this weekend. It's still valid, and it'll be valid up until December 10th. That's when the coupon cuts off. It's for 15% off. There you go. 15% off. Unplugged 2018. Use it. And again, December 10th is the cutoff for that. Alrighty, let's get into our first topic. We're going to be talking about the First Order and the Resistance. The official release is going to be, in America at least, Thursday, December 13th. So that's not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. Points have been released. They're on the Fantasy Flight website under the X-Wing 2nd Edition section of their website. And Protech, a company out of England, actually got some of these early and posted a bunch of pictures of them. So I want to thank him for putting it all together. And we're going to be taking a look, not at everything in the kit, because there's a lot of stuff, but basically I cherry-picked, how many is this? 6 cards in the kit that just kind of tickled my fancy, we'll say, just at first glance, and I want to talk about them. So... we're going to. So the first one there is this pilot right here. And you know what? I'm gonna break the not break, but I'm going to go ahead and kind of break our frame here, break the magic, just so that we can make sure everybody can see this card. Will, what's that pilot's name? William?
Oh, sorry. I was contemplating his name and title while my mute was on. This is J. Chris Tubbs, the loving father.
I love his last name, Tubbs.
Tubbs. he is what, initiative 2?
Initiative 1.
Oh, just 1. Mm-hmm. Initiative 1. T-70. After you fully execute a blue maneuver, you may choose a friendly ship at range 0 to 1. If you do, that ship removes 1 stress token.
Mm-hmm. So
of course, they have the weapon hardpoint as well.
Yeah.
So, but this is moving first.
Uh huh. So here's what I thought. Okay.
Okay.
So I'll be honest. I didn't look at the points for this. I probably should. I'll go ahead and do that in a minute.
He's the cheapest one.
Could you do me a favor while I talk about it a little bit? Could you look up the point?
Yeah, I was already on it. He's 50 points. 50 the points. Cheapest named pilot.
Okay, so I know he's in a really good chassis, and at 50 points, this might be a little bit expensive to do, but I think this guy makes a very awesome and unexpected blocker, because of his ability and the ability to just to clear double stresses, essentially, because 0-1 includes himself. If he were double stressed from something like Panic Pilot, he's very anti Kylo. He's like, I got this, do a blue, I'm fine. And being at initiative 1, he's going to be able to almost always have access to his reposition of the boost and be able to just get in enemy ships' ways. And I just really liked the possibilities that you have there. And then as a support ship in some type of with an ace, maybe just getting stress off, especially if we know that Panic Pilot is going to be something that people who are playing, I'll show you, the dark side, are going to be using. This is a way to maybe avoid that if you can figure out how to fly it together.
Yeah, I'm already seeing. So I'm imagining like this and another T-70 both Talon roll.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tubbs could do the one forward or whatever. And then his other T-70, who also Talon rolled, can then have its stress be cleared. And then they wouldn't need to do a real blue maneuver. In fact, they could just Talon roll again. You can start doing some pretty outrageous stress controlling shenanigans.
Can you imagine this guy being like, all right, Poe, you just did this, you just did a K-turn or a Talon roll, and I'm going to take your stress. And then Poe just goes all crazy again?
This seems like, because Poe's ability is just to stress himself to take another action, so he's always going to be stressed. This seems like a perfect Poe wingman.
That's what I'm saying. So, looks really, really cool. How good is it going to be in practice? I don't know. But I know that I looked at it and went, that seems interesting, cool, and useful. Let's try to use it.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised about, I think there's 8 named pilots and 4 generic pilots for the T-70.
Yeah.
There's a lot. That's a lot of options.
Yep. And an honorable mention in the T-70 chassis is, I'm forgetting the name. I didn't put it in the slides because it wasn't planned. It just came to my mind right now. But the one who has Blue Ace's ability, where you can boost with the hard turns, her initiative went up. So it's initiative 4 now,
really?
On the scale. So I was like, when I saw that, I was like, huh, interesting. I just always thought that the ability is really, really cool. Just because, obviously being able to get around in a 90 degree is really, really good. But I don't know. We'll see if it's any good. I'm going to try it because I like fun things. But just a thought there. The next one I want to talk about. Well, I got to resize this. And we'll just put it across the screen. There it is. So the scavenged YT-1300 dial. You'll notice missing on this dial is the 4K because it's an older ship and it can no longer do this crazy 4K. Mm-hmm. Everything else is the same, but it's missing the 4K. So I just thought that was interesting because first I was like, oh, it's going to be the same.
Is that like a ray balancer? Is that?
I mean, I think so. It's also pretty fluffy, right? Like, it's an old ship. It's maneuverable because it's the Falcon, but, like, it can't quite do everything anymore. Just most things.
Yeah, it's getting rusty.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you also have the 4 straight, which is now red. So it's still fast. It's just going to hurt a little bit to do it. So I just thought it was interesting. And then we get the TIE SF dial, and now this thing can really move. It has a 5 straight white. And a 4 straight.
Post-edit could go real fast.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's very... I remember when the SF first came out in first edition. That was one of the first things people saying, hey, they were telling me that this thing could really move. What in the world? It has, it didn't have access to the 5 straight, but now it does. It makes it comparable speed with the FOs, which which makes it so that you could possibly actually fly them in swarms together and have some of the faster movements with the FOs if you want to combine them.
Yeah, it looks like it has white hard threes as well. That's a huge improvement.
Yep. So yeah, just the maneuverability of the chassis has gone way, way up. And you know what? Jedi Oswald in the chat says, Unkar Plutt installed a compressor. We need Ray to bypass it. That's awesome. I mean, yeah, right? Because you got the title. You can do some shenanigans there. I will tell you, side note, I know that not everybody is super fans of the Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, but in The Last Jedi, I laughed so hard, but all by myself in the theater, when Rey pulls the compressor, she's like, I bypassed the compressor, right? Like, for whatever reason, like, that always gets me, and I'm laughing, like, really hard, and everybody's just looking at me going, that wasn't that funny. But anyway, I just enjoy life more than other people, maybe. I thought it was great. Because she by yanking it out, it's bypassed because it's not in. Whatever.
I'll tell you that in Last Jedi, at one point, Rey screams out, she's shooting on the gunner of the Falcon. She says, I like this. And I cracked up laughing in the theater at that because I thought it was a joke.
Right.
That wasn't a joke. That was supposed to be like a upbeat note for that scene.
Right.
But she was kind of shooting down TIE fighters, so I don't know if that was exactly upbeat.
It was good for her.
She right? liked it, apparently. That's yeah. all I can say.
Yeah. Alrighty. We'll go to our next one. So, next one of note, I should probably unhide this, is this upgrade card. Hate. It's our first dark side force upgrade. It says, after you suffer one or more damage, recover that many force. So I'm still looking forward to finding out how we're going to determine who gets dark or light side upgrades. Like the only thing we have right now that actually refers to it is that Maul crew card that says you may equip dark side upgrades. I'm assuming that Kylo can equip this, but I didn't see anything in the points chart that says like dark side upgrade. Is there anything in there? Maybe I just missed it.
It's probably just like a note in the like kit in the paperwork that mm-hmm. just says like these. I assume it's faction based, right? Like the force users of the evil factions, the dark side factions, the First Order and Empire, they're like get it by default. I'm trying to think of like Asajj might be true neutral and not be able to take either light or dark because she's in the scum faction,
right? Yeah, I just like to get more deets. Give me some deets, FFG. I want to know more. So I'm just curious. What do we think of the ability on that card since we're here? After you suffer more damage.
I mean, it's pretty good on Kylo because it automatically triggers his Kylo. I'll show you the dark side ability that requires the force point.
Uh-huh.
So that's perfect. It's the exact trigger you're looking for there. It's actually really interesting on like Kanan. If you have Ezra and Maul, you could put this on Kanan. But I'm not sure. That was the question I had about Maul. Does Maul give you a force slot? Or is he just lets your force slot take dark side upgrades?
That is what it does.
Yeah, because it doesn't give you a slot. No. So it only really works on like Asajj and Kanan and Ezra.
Right. Exactly. So it's a you may access this.
Yeah, because Luke deal. Can't get a crew. So. No. Yeah. So just Kanan, Ezra, and Asajj, which is interesting. Well, then all of the Imperial Force users, probably not so good on like the Grand Inquisitor, because they're not going to be hopefully taking too much damage.
No, you know, if you're taking damage, you're losing.
I'm trying to think of like maybe a decimator, a large base. But no, they don't have, there's no pilots for that though. So that doesn't make any sense.
Right, right, exactly.
Is it worth it on Vader then?
I mean, better than supernatural reflexes?
I know, right? This is gonna have to be pretty cheap.
Yeah. I mean, let's take a look. How many points is it? We'll go to the dock here, scroll down. Where is it? I guess it's considered, is it the generic? There you go. We got somebody to chat. 2 points. It's only 2 points. I mean, that's a big difference compared to like Supernatural. It's a budget force upgrade. Though I don't know. I mean, I've never been a fan of abilities that you have to take damage to do. One force for a damage. Yeah. I mean, I think it's priced right at 2 points. It makes you go, huh? I mean, I guess I don't have space for anything else, so I'll take it. We'll see. The next one that I want to talk about, I think this is so cool and opens up some crazy opportunities. So the biohexacrypt codes. Biohexacrypt codes. It says, while you coordinate or jam, if you have a lock on a ship, you may spend that lock to choose that ship, ignoring range restrictions. It's first order only and requires target lock. So, like, just the possibility. So, first, you can lock friendly ships. You can lock anybody. All right? You can lock a rock. Mind you, you can't coordinate or jam a rock. But the possibility of locking your ships in the first turn and on the approach with a very maneuverable ship, being able to coordinate from outside of range two, and just getting some really crazy repositioning options seems really good.
Yeah, is there a way to get more than one lock? I don't think so.
Not yet. But I'm go ahead.
I love it. It's confusing. Who in the first order can't target lock is my question.
I think they have to put it on there because if they take away the target lock from a ship, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We give it to you, but we can always take it away.
Okay. But no, it's super good. Unlimited range.
Yeah. That seems really good. And the crazy thing is it's only 1 point. It's 1 point.
That's pretty good.
I'm taking it all day. If I'm taking an Upsilon shuttle with this, I'm taking it all day. Are you kidding? For sure. Yeah,
that's why I want to be able to get more in one lock. I don't think you could do it on the Upsilon, though.
No.
I'm in on it. It has coordinate, so that's perfect. Has jam as well, right?
Yep. Now, the Upsilon shuttles are expensive, right? They're going to be a good chunk of your list. But I mean, I look at this card and I go, value, hello, value right there. So I'm super excited. And then that's not even to mention the jam. Where I see the jam, I think, is going to be less useful than the coordinate. But still, with some of the lower initiative Upsilon shuttles, if you are able to bring your shuttle in, lock a ship that's maybe trying to disengage and being chased by one of your other ships, you jam it or you're holding on to a lock and that ship gets away at some point. You've just been having it. You're like, you know what? I'm going to jam you. Jam! Got him.
Yeah, I'm looking at, there's an Upsilon pilot called Lieutenant Tavson. His ability says, after you sever damage, you can spend a charge to perform an action. And it looks like he's got, from the squad builder, says he's got 2 charges that recur.
Okay.
So with that, you would be able to, first damage you lock, second damage you jam. Or if you already have a lock and a friendly, that first free action could be a coordinate. So he's actually coordinating in the engagement phase. Which would be an interesting way to get around that pilot skill problem of low pilot skill coordinating.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. So super cool there. And the final one that I want to talk about is exactly what Will was referencing earlier. I will show you the dark side. I will show you the dark side. Okay. Man. So this card, if you're not familiar with it, maybe you didn't play first edition, is a point of contention in the community because it allows you to give ships pilot crits underneath the shields. Which, here's a couple things though, right? So we already have less shields in second edition. So, like, it's not as powerful. While Panic Pilot is probably the worst one, there's no ship crit that can prevent you from shooting. And I think that was when we had the old Blinded Pilot, the one that just says you can't attack, that's where it made the real feels bad. And there's also no initiative zero crit either. So you're messing with the status of a ship more than the changing the chassis that was brought into the game.
That's fair. I mean, the crits have gotten worse, but also more fair, balanced, maybe. Yeah, because the Blinded was too oppressive.
Alrighty. And I will be honest, I haven't looked through all the cards yet. I see a couple people like, oh, what about this? What about that? What about this? Guys, I was in Philadelphia when a lot of this came out. I haven't had time to go through it. I literally had today about 2 hours to do it. And there was on top of being a dad and all the other things. So there's way more to look through. Some one that I'm seeing here is null with squad leader and bio codes. That sounds cool. Squad leader gives the red coordinate. Do that from far away. That sounds super sweet. I'm in. Let's see. Null is a 31 point. It's the cheapest FO with a elite pilot talent.
Yeah, but it also is normally pilot skill 7 or initiative value of 7.
Okay. So
he's the new Epi Ace.
Ah, okay. Cool. That's really good. Being able to coordinate at initiative 7. Is your movement as well?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just you're not damaged. You treat your initiative as 7.
That seems really good.
If this is correct, his normal initiative is 0.
There you go. So
which is not good.
So at least in that opening you can do some shenanigans for sure. And then also honestly, initiative 0 coordinate is really good as well. Being able to try to get some pre blocks, or let's say you have it paired with something like Kylo and you coordinate, you know, a boost barrel roll. Now you're stressed, but then he does a green to relieve it. You get some of that old advanced sensors push the limit shenanigans going on. Oh, makes my heart palpitate. I remember once per game. Remember the good times. Just kidding. I'm so glad we're in second edition. So, so yeah, those are just a couple of the you know, at first a really quick first glance without, you know, again, I say 2 hours. It was less than 2 hours. To look through these pictures and just kind of come up with a couple things that I just thought stuck out. Was there anything for you, Will, besides the things I got in here that made you go, huh?
Oh, man. Every stat on the... What is it? It's not I keep wanting to call it Mega Fortress. That's not what it's called. It's in... It's MG100 Star Fortress.
Yeah. The Star Fortress, yeah.
Yeah, they ended up with they have a 3-forward attack.
I know. Oh my god.
And 2 in a bow tie. Yeah, they'll do. Like yeah, I'll take that ship now. Yeah, that sounds great, actually. That should be really easy to shoot at things. You're a large base with a 280 degree arc and possibly 4 to a lot more bombs. I guess you can bring the bomb legender and have a lot of bombs. But that's going to be that's a scary ship out there all of a sudden because you just can't get away from it.
Yeah, you had the bombs in there. It's 360, right? Like it really is.
I mean, pretty much. I mean, it's more than that. If you're dropping like mines in addition to bombs, then it's just nowhere.
Yeah.
That's really interesting because I like those ships. I always thought they were fun, but they were just not very good before. But now they got a sweet spot. It's like a Moldy Crow. You know what I mean? Like Hawks got a lot better just by getting that 3 attack dice primary. Like that's a game changer for a lot of ships.
Absolutely. So yeah, the First Order Resistance officially come out in the U.S. December 13th. Looking forward to putting some of those on the table and experimenting. So, of course, I feel like it's my responsibility as your Gold Squadron podcast host that I need to play all the factions. Like I gotta play everything, a little bit of everything, so that when it comes to streaming, I know what I'm talking about. What does this ship do? What's its dial? So let's go ahead and get into PAX Unplugged results. So I want to say thank you to everybody who watched the PAX Unplugged stream. It was super fun. And everybody who I met out there, I think honestly one of my favorite parts of traveling and doing all the streaming is being able to meet all these new and different people and also connecting faces to names that I've heard in different tournament results and things. So thank you to everybody who hung out. You guys are awesome. Let's go ahead. Will, tell me about the winner. Who's the winner and what did he fly?
This is Steven Michael. He's got 2 Scimitar Squadron Barrage Rockets. He's got Major Vermeule with Admiral Sloan and 000. He's got Whisper with Duke and Darth Vader.
Yeah, I mean, I will tell you, the streamed game, the final, should be up on YouTube by the end, either, if not tomorrow, being Wednesday, December 5th, it'll be up by Thursday, the 6th. It was a great game. It was really, really good. Thank you to both players. And then it came down to the wire. I'll tell you, it came down to the wire. I won't give any spoilers. Obviously, we know who won, but as to how we got there, how it progressed. Like, listen, you know, at the end of every movie, the good guys win, but the spoilers is how did we get there? Okay, how did we get there? So the runner up was Kent Whitney, who ran a list that I thought was really cool. So we got 2 Punishers, 2 Bombers. We got Redline with Proton Torpedoes. That is a known commodity, right? So that's not the special part. This is where we get some of the cool stuff here. You got Captain Jonas with Barrage Rockets, which allows the secondary missile and torpedo attacks to have rerolls. That's really good. Then you got Major Reimer with Advanced Proton Torpedoes and Cluster Missiles. Major Reimer's ability allows you to flex the range of missiles and protons by 1. You can either go 1 range farther or 1 range less. Now, the Advanced Proton Torpedo normally can only fire at range 1. That's a 5 dice attack that lets you change one of the hit results to a crit. But now you can fire it at range 2. That's dangerous. And I did see him use it in his approach in one of his other stream games that we had, and it can be absolutely devastating. And then you got Death Rain, the Redline's little brother, who I think is honestly underappreciated, and I think we're going to see more Death Rain to come before we get our big point shift. If Redline goes super expensive, but Deathrain stays pretty close to where he is, I think we're going to see an increase in him. So he has Advanced Proton Torpedo, Trajectory Simulator, and Seismic Charges and Barrage Rockets. So if you're not familiar with Deathrain's ability, he's the one that lets you, after you drop or launch a bomb, you can do an action. So essentially, in the system phase, which is when you do the bombs, you're allowed to do an action. And these ships have boost. So you can use the boost, which I did see him do this, which was really, really cool. You can drop the bomb, boost into a position to block somebody, and that is all before you move. And you can also, they also have a linked action on their bar that I'm losing right now in my mind.
It's a linked target lock. He's picking up that advanced proton torpedo target lock as he's coming in for the block.
There you go. Boost into target lock. Clear the stress with a blue maneuver. I mean, you have lots of options there. And he had this really cool opening. He set up, we had him on stream two times. He had this really cool setup where he did a couple of really purposeful self blocks to line up his seismic charges against in round the top four, I think it was. He played against the Dash Rourke list and just did some devastating things to the rocks. It was really cool. Watch those games. You're going to learn a lot. But in the final, I mean, both of these lists, we have basically featured the TIE Bomber. And that is a ship that a lot of people have been saying, it's really good. But we haven't seen it in any top cuts. Here we go, two across the table from each other. What are your thoughts on this list, Will?
I was double checking about Kent because I, unless I'm mistaken, which I can be, actually went up against Kent and the same four pilots here. He had slightly different upgrades twice at Coruscant.
Yep.
I faced him round two and in the top 16. And he had trajectory on Redline before. Which was too much for my Dreadnought Swarm. But now, with those advanced proton torpedoes, now he's very scary against basically tech the list against like triple aces, right? So you don't need as many like area of effects like cluster missiles or launching bombs because you're going for more like precision attacks.
Yep.
And it's very scary. I don't want to be anywhere in front of those four ships, right? Like, you can't be anywhere close to them. Because it's so many attacks. And pretty heavily modified. I mean, Redline's double modified. Everything's, for the most part, except for the advanced proton torpedoes. Because Deathrain could just take a focus before he drops a bomb, right?
Yep.
And then come in for the target lock. So he could double mod him.
Yeah, he's exactly both Deathrain and, yeah. and Redline go target lock focus. What's up? I got it. Yeah, it's really good.
It's potentially so much damage. Very scary. That's super awesome though. To see Punishers and Bombers. Not that we haven't been seeing them, but I like that it's just Punishers and Bombers.
Yeah, it's taking the Punisher Redline, which we've seen in that like triple ace archetype, and moving it into a different realm. This is an Alpha Strike list, essentially, right? Alpha Strike ish because they're not just like at range three trying to lob, you know, missiles at you, but a little bit of a different style. Again, I really suggest you watch, obviously watch the final to see Stephen Michael take the game. And he does, honestly, some really cool things. Let's flip back to him. He has Major Vermeil in there. That is the TIE Reaper. And he has this really cool combo in there that's a little bit hidden and at first wasn't super evident when I was typing in his list. But then I realized some of the options. some of the options that he has. So on Vermeil, he has Admiral Sloan with Triple Zero. So Triple Zero creates a bit of a dilemma for an opponent. It's like, okay, do I give you the soft mod automatically or take the stress? Most people will, you know, I've seen a lot of players like, I'm just going to take the stress because I don't want you to do more damage. But then the problem is then you have Sloan out there and saying, if you take that stress, the bombers now and these bombers with barrage rockets and Whisper are going to have some rerolls against you, which hurt really, really bad. So creates some issues there for pilots, and I thought that was really cool. And with that medium base, he was able to keep it in some of his other games, was able to keep it back by self-bumping it against the bombers in order to control its range.
Yeah, because those medium-base Reapers with their advanced ailerons are going pretty fast. So I assume this thing can easily get into range one to start triggering that triple zero.
Oh, yeah, it can. So watch that game. I got Kent Whitney playing two times, and while the final was great, you see some work on that seismic charge and opening, which is really cool in the top four games, so check that one out as well. And now I want to talk about a couple of the other lists that were a little bit different than what we've been seeing. I would say Bombers and Punishers, they definitely are a little bit different than we've been seeing. They would have been on this list as well, but they were in the final. So, and that's two lists. The first one is by Craig Ferguson. He was in the top eight. He went undefeated with two B-Wings, an X-Wing, and a Y-Wing. So he's got 10 numb, Braylon, 10 numb with Crackshot, Braylon Strom with Crackshot, Wedge with, just with Silver Motor S foils, and Dutch with Dorsal Turret, and went 6-0. I'm curious to know what his matchups were, but like,
I don't believe that that's possible, but apparently, it is. This is outstanding.
Yeah. And like there was another in round one, I had B Wings on the stream and they won. So I don't know if there's this rise of the B Wings, but you know, these B Wings have, they like to be stressed in order to get their abilities off. One gets rerolls, the other one allows you to change focus by spending stress. But like I wanna talk to Craig and be like, can you explain what happened here? I wonder, maybe we should try to get him on the show. But like, can you, I am genuinely curious to, like, I want to know his matchups. I want to know and understand how he flies this and how he, you know, how he took it to such a high level.
I mean, Braylon really likes the linked action on the B-Wing to be able to barrel roll, then take a focus or the other way around, whichever. But it gives him focus target lock on offense. I mean, Tidnov spends the focus, or Susan, what is it? Spends the stress. He's got old key and Firelander's ability. So is this his offense super consistent? Obviously, Wedge's is super consistent if he's getting the target lock from Dutch. Like, and Dutch is kind of like a Biggs out there, right? Like, shoot at him, sure.
Yeah.
But it's distracting because you're not quite sure what to shoot at. And if you start on Wedge, the two beams are just going to tear you up.
Nom, 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 nom. Yeah, so super cool. I think that is what I'm actually going to take to League tomorrow because I was like, that seems super cool. I'm going to put it on the table. So I'm going to, not really knowing what the strategy is with the list, going to be taking it to League tomorrow. You'll probably see it on stream. Watch me embarrass myself. It'll be fun.
be really aggressive with Dutch. Get in there and start getting them tugger locks.
I'm a dorsal turret. Fear me. And the other list was a top 16 list by Zach Cody that also featured B-Wings. You got two Blue Squadron pilots with advanced sensors, Braylon Strom, and 10 Numb again. What? 10 Numb and Braylon Strom. What are your secrets and how can I unlock them? because, again, top 16, had 5 wins, was able to get it. I mean, just be wings.
Do their prices go down when no one was looking or something?
That's what I'm asking. But, you know, here is the biggest thing I want to pull from noticing that these lists did so well is I know that a lot of us like to look at the math and tournament results mm-hmm. to make decisions in list building. And when I see lists like this do well, it gives there's a small ray of hope in there and saying like, hey, listen, anything can be good if you have a strategy, or at least more things than we think are good are actually good. Right? Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Well, like the B-wings just fly differently than most other ships would. So like there is a surprise element to it too, I imagine, right? Like everybody's not used to seeing them. Especially 4 of them.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I played something similar with the Gragnark guys. One of the Gragnark guys is flying this in the classic. Mm. But he had 3 at ones with advanced sensors, and it didn't go very well. It was taking forever to take down those B-wings.
Yeah, they're chunky.
Well, yeah, I mean, advanced sensors is good, right? We can all agree that advanced sensors is good.
Right.
So, yeah. If you can still get your action, it seems really good.
Yep. So maybe B-wings are on the rise. We'll see. And then I would like not quite. I mean, there's Boba Fett in this next list. This is Matthew Gim, I think it's how it's pronounced. And so not super like, wow, Boba Fett. We know Boba Fett is good, and we know quad jumpers are good. So he has 2 quad jumpers and Boba Fett. But then there was a twist here, and I was like, huh, interesting. He has Captain Justero, completely naked, just Captain Justero. And how he has his Boba Fett tricked out is how he's triggering Justero. So you can trigger it off of the quad jumpers dumping you on rocks if you take damage. Justero, if you're not familiar with his ability, it says something along the lines of when an enemy ship takes damage but not from an attack, you get to fire. You get a bonus attack. So Boba Fett has Trick Shot, IG-88D, has Proximity Mines, which he did use to great effect, and which I, on first reading, was completely confused when I read it the first time, the effect of the bomb. And you'll hear, if you watch the game where Michael was playing, I completely get it wrong at first, and I just keep reading it and going, I'm bad at English, and finally figured it out and going, oh. So proximity mines, you automatically take a damage, 1 damage, and then you roll 2 dice, and you get the damage that you roll. That's how that goes. Anyway. And then he also has the Marauder title, which we've seen a lot of people use, but no Han Gunner. Instead, he has Dengar Crew, which is another opportunity for Justero to trigger. So if you're not familiar with how Dengar works, I'm actually going to pull up the exact wording here. So
it says, after you defend, if the attacker is in your firing arc, you may spend 1 charge. If you do, roll 1 attack dice. Unless the defender chooses to remove 1 green, or excuse me, the attacker chooses to remove 1 green token. On a hit or crit result, the attacker suffers 1 damage. So it's a possibility to do a damage or remove a green token when someone attacks you. So when someone's shooting Boba, you could also trigger a damage for Justero as well.
Yep. So super neat. I thought that was super cool because I had not seen anybody use this, and I just found it really interesting that, you know, he doubled down on being able to get those bonus attacks with Justero and really only having, you know, Boba Fett as a damage dealer plus a contingent damage dealer with Justero. Maybe the idea was that because Boba Fett and the quad jumpers draw so much heat, Justero just kind of was like, hey, I'm going to be here, and if you ignore me, all these other things in this list are going to eat you up.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds also very scary.
Yeah.
Because what, you're just going to let Boba Fett fly around?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
None of those options are good.
I do like somebody in the chat here says Dengar equals baby Vader. Pretty much. Yeah. It's a maybe Vader. A maybe baby Vader. Say that 10 times fast. Maybe baby Vader.
Maybe Vader, Vader.
Yeah. So those were the list that kind of stuck out to me. There's lots of your what have become meta staples in there. Your Whisper Redline Soon Tier list in there. We got the Dash Rourke in there. Now, if you want to see the list, they are available to be seen. The community has gone together and taken the list from Best Coast Pairings and transferred them into List Fortress for holding. So they are up there. You can go to List Fortress. Everything's listed for there to see. I actually already corrected a couple where there was a couple mistakes because the people were on stream, so I had their list. But awesome. And it was one thing I did notice is that nine out of the top 16 lists and players played on the Gold Squadron stream. So if you want to see some high quality play, you can actually see 9 of our top 16 players in our matches. The games already started being uploaded. I have already, as of right now, the first 4 games uploaded. I will be uploading the 5th one right after the podcast, just setting it and while I edit the podcast and stuff like that. But yeah, so go ahead and check those out. Now, our last topic for today is to discuss the hyperspace format. There has been a lot of emotional reaction to the hyperspace format. Is that appropriate to say it that way, Will?
Yeah, there's a lot of opinions about it, that's for sure.
Yep. So I want to start by talking about what do we know so far? Like, what are the facts? Let's start there, and we'll give our opinions later. We'll talk about facts first. So we know that the hyperspace format is a restricted format where FFG is limiting pilots and upgrades. We also know, we've been told, that this list of restrictions will cycle. There's 2 seasons planned. The first one goes from March to June, and the second one goes from September through December. So you got 2 separate seasons. They're 4 months long, and they will change. How much will they change? We don't know. It's not very clear whether the second set of hyperspace is just like a points adjustment or a restrictions adjustment from the first one, or is it going to be completely different? We don't know that, but we know that it will somehow change when we get to September. As for the ships that are allowed, I started making this chart and I noticed that our good friend Phil GC actually made one already. So I was like, you know what? This is a screenshot. Check out his article. I'm going to put that in the description down below. He actually breaks this down really, really well and talks about a lot of really cool possibilities, his opinion on the hyperspace format. But let's go ahead and talk about what's available. You basically have 4 ships available for every faction except for Scum, who is going to have 5. So let's go ahead, give those a rundown, Will.
All right, for Scum, you have the Fang Fighter, the Mining Guild Tie, the Fire Spray, the YT-1300, and the Escaped Craft for Scum. For Rebels, you got X-Wing, Y-Wing, U-Wing, and the YT-1300. Resistance has the T-70, the Bomber, and the A-Wing 2, and YT-1300. First Order, Upsilon, TIE Foe, TIE SF, TIE Silencer. Imperials have TIE Advanced, TIE Fighter, TIE Reaper, and TIE Striker. Yep. That's a lot of Falcons.
Yeah. How many Falcons can we have? Three.
All Falcons are allowed, apparently.
That's right. You got the prequel Falcon. You got the not prequel Falcon, the OG Falcon, and then the postquel sequel. Right, that's the actual word. So let's stick to the facts. Let me not get to my opinion yet. We're sticking to facts. Now, one thing that I did find interesting once we got this list is this diagram that FFG gave us early on when they were explaining the structure of the organized play for second edition makes way more sense now. So we were told there was going to be a path to worlds for both the extended play and second edition, which is now going to be called the hyperspace format. On, if you see this, there's this pyramid. You have the seasonal kits, which are extended play on that side. That side of the pyramid, you're extended. The other side is your restricted or your second edition only releases ways to get to world. There's the path right there. Deluxe wave kits, they're each wave. So it's essentially your hyperspace format, your second edition level. And then followed by, on top of that, hyperspace trials. And there is your ticket to Worlds opportunity for these new players. And then we get to the World Championships. This makes way more sense now. Like, we got this list of things, and I immediately went, oh, okay. There are two paths, all to the World Championships. Now, how's the World Championship going to go down? We have no idea. Will it be extended? Will it be hyperspace? Will it be some weird mishmash of the two? We don't know. Will you have to play like hyperspace in some rounds and extended in the others? Will it have some type of list building? I don't know. But
oh man, the cut is extended.
Oh, or I mean, oh man, there's lots of possibilities.
No,
there.
It should be the other way around.
Yeah,
should be the cut is hyperspace.
The cut is hyperspace. Yeah, I'm in. Or maybe I don't know. No. Would it be? I think I would want to make the Swiss hyperspace. So limit the pool, and then if you get into the cut, you're like, all right, if you're the best of the best, now it could be anything out there. Wild West, baby.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And then there's the possibility, I see somebody in the chat asking, well, maybe there'll be a championship for like either one. Like you'll have a hyperspace champion and a extended champion. Mm-hmm. I think while the idea is interesting, I don't know if they would want to go away from that idea of a single world champion. Because there's such a prestige there, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think there might just be one. I mean, they're already doing Coruscant, so it leads me to believe that there'd only be one Worlds tournament. But the format of it, I agree. Hard to say.
Yeah. Yeah, so we will we'll see. I'm excited about it. Now, let's go ahead. Let's give our opinions. Will, I'll let you go first. What do you think?
Well, I actually don't mind the hyperspace format. Because I think the initial resistance to the idea of the limited format was looking at ships that are in the Scum, Rebels, and Imperials and saying that you can only play a fourth of those or a third of those ships. But when the new factions are coming in and you're allowed every ship, is correct, right? Every ship for the Resistance and First Order is legal in hyperspace.
Yep.
Maybe not all upgrades, but every ship and assuming every pilot is legal. And that'll be the same, I assume, then for the CIS and Grand Republic. They would also be allowed to have all of their ships being represented. And it's just wildly unfair for Scum Rebels and Empire to have like 12, 15 ships or whatever they have. I don't know. I forget how many.
All the options.
it's so many. Like, it's a lot. It's over 10 easily. So they're, like I said, double, triple, quadruple what the other factions have. And I actually want the other factions to be successful. I hope that there is a time when each faction would be more or less balanced or whatever, though that's probably impossible to do, as we've seen in pretty much every single game ever.
Yeah.
But the I will say this. Objectively, there's no way that you can add in these four new factions without the hyperspace format. So, and I don't know. It's just a nice compromise. Like, as we obviously have all the models. I know you have all the models, Dion.
Yep.
So the extended has to exist for that as well. So it's, they just both have to exist by necessity, and that's whatever you prefer. Actually, because I'm excited more for the newer factions. I'm ready for hyperspace. I'm okay to set aside all the outrageous things that Scum, Rebels, and Empire can do just to play with the new toys.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll go into mine. I am also, and I think people probably aren't surprised that I am not upset by the hyperspace announcement, because we have two very clear roads to worlds. Now, I think the reaction from the community is a little bit of a PR blunder. Like, if they would have just explained this more clear earlier, I think we would not have had this problem. Just understanding that there were going to be two paths to world, one for the newer releases and one for everything. And then just, you know, they gave us this chart without really explaining how this worked, right? They gave us all this new vocabulary, this hyperspace trials, deluxe wave kit, like without an explanation right away. They were very vague. And maybe they were just giving themselves some space to have those, you know, like, ta-da, articles, here we go. But I think that is part of the negative reaction that people are having towards this format. Because in their mind, they're saying like, oh, you're giving me less. And I was like, well, no, they're not giving you less. They're providing the two different roads, and you have the option to go to either or. So if you have access to a system open and you're like, I play extended, this is what I want. I don't want to worry about hyperspace trials or hyperspace format. Then you don't go to the hyperspace trials. You just focus on the system opens. But I will tell you that you can tell that FFG is leaning more towards the hyperspace format, because there's going to be significantly more hyperspace trials than there are system opens. Like that is happening. Hyperspace trials, you know, they're going to be more common, right? That's the event that you, as long as you can hold, how many players was it? If you can hold 64 players, you can run one. So there's going to be a significant more number of those regional style events. So my opinion is that I understand that that not everybody has access to a system open, and probably this is where some people get a little bit like, well, like I'm trying to think, where is there a little bit of a, at least in the US, where is there a black hole for system opens? Like Texas, I guess. The closest one would be Atlanta.
No, they got Phoenix.
Oh, you're right. So, maybe
Maine?
Maine. Oh, but they have Philadelphia.
Oh, that's true.
Right, so I mean, I think this year they're actually pretty evenly spaced. I mean, there's people who are going to have to make a good track to them. But anyway, the idea here is that I think eventually, there is no two-track system. This is a means to an end, right? Like, we have to give new players the opportunity to win because I saw somebody saying this, and this is very true. Like, the prices, the secondary market on like the Punisher model has gone way up. Way up. Look on eBay for a Punisher, like new in box. You're going to be paying a good chunk of change for it. You have to give the opportunity to the newer players who don't have access to those old things. And eventually, everything that we have already, everything I have on the shelf, will be re-released in the second edition packaging, and we'll have it. And then now maybe our list restrictions are not based on release schedule, but on other things when it comes to competitive play. I think that's my opinion. I totally get if you're peeved. I get it. But be patient. And you know what? It's still X-Wing. We're still going to have a good time. We're still going to play the game. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot of people trying to get those trial wins to Worlds. So gonna have to learn the hyperspace format as well. Like if you are a serious player or only have access to the trials, you might want to start focusing on these particular ships. But honestly, there's a lot of options in everything there. Maybe less so. Who do you think got the most I want to give you who came out the best and who came out the worst out of the hyperspace format for factions?
So,
well, not including the Resistance and First Order, because they basically get everything.
Okay, so that's a good way to look at it. So I think probably Scum, because the chassis, so I particularly Boba Fett, right? Is his entire combo is still hyperspace legal. I think at least most of it is. And am I right about that? I'm pretty sure.
It would be really funny if Marauder was legal. Nope. I forget the upgrades. I know Sloan's not on there. Is that right? I already tried to build some Reaper Striker lists. But Sloan's on upgrade you can have.
Let's see. We'll go ahead and look here.
And the Rebels, to be fair, they have X-Wings and Y-Wings and U-Wings. X-Wings are good. We've seen that just triple X-Wings is good.
Oh, yeah.
You can get Marauder.
Marauder is hyperspace legal. Yeah.
All right, so yeah, Boba's not going anywhere for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, Boba Fett is from Extended, it is getting the most transference over, at least at first glance here. That's actually a great question that you asked. That's something that, you know, with some time we'll start to look at it, but we'll see how it shakes out. I think Scum right now is the one that has the most transference. Empire is probably the one that's going to have the most work because their most popular list right now, the soon to your red line Whisper, none of that is hyperspace legal. Mm-hmm. All of it's trash. All of it's gone. And from their available pilots, when I look at the Empire, like that, you have the TIE Advance. That's your closest thing to an Archaeologer that you have, but and maybe the Striker, but we're going to be getting some new combinations, some new things to come out of Empire. I think the first thing Empire players will grab for is Vader, but I doubt that is the best decision. Like there's a lot in there, especially with the upcoming points adjustment that's coming in January before this gets started. You know, if Vader's cost goes down, you grab Vader. But if it goes up, start looking at some of the other options. Yeah.
Well, none of those hyperspace legal ships can trajectory.
That's good.
Oh wait, no. The
BSF, Fortress, the Star Fortress can.
Star Fortress most certainly can. That's a thing. And I guess the Y-Wing and Fire Spray aren't bad bombers either.
Nope. So lots of options there. So super excited for that. We're going to go ahead and close out this discussion. But I'm looking forward to what's happening with the hyperspace trials and something that we're going to get rolling. I've teased this for the last couple months, but it is happening. I need to come up with a way to have you all, our viewers and our patrons, vote on places where you would like me to go for hyperspace trials. Because I'm planning on making that part of my schedule. We have a huge, like, of course I'll be at the major events, like those happen, but there's some gaps in there, and I would like to get to some of your guys' events. And yes, I will fly to, I don't know, Maine or Florida or Oklahoma, and try to bring some light on some of these hyperspace trials, maybe in different places. I see somebody in the chat yelling Kentucky. Where do you guys want me to go, chat? We'll give you guys some of the live feature here. Come to the Australian System Open. I announced that I'm going. Stop bothering me. I said I'm going. They're bullying me. I see Go Hawks, Utah, that's Atlanta, Oklahoma City, Utah. I see some more call outs for Utah. Fly to Chicago hyperspace. I'm gonna fly to my own place, Kentucky again. Salt Lake City, Phoenix for the Open. Oh, I'm going to every system open in the United States. That's without question. But yeah, so super excited about that. I will tell you, we'll close the fourth wall now. I will tell you guys that the ones local to Chicago, which are basically anything that touches Illinois, I will be at, or not everything, most things. I'll be at Wisconsin, if that happens. I'll be at Michigan. I'll be at, obviously, the Chicago ones, Illinois close by, and Indiana. Like those four, absolutely. I talked to Aaron Kroll, coach from OCX, and I will be there as well. So I'll be in Iowa. Yes, I said Iowa. And but I will probably also go to Ohio. I will go to both. So looking forward to that. So we're going to take a second and do our YouTube spotlight. Our quick tips from this week go that surround this question: can Dash actually shoot twice at Initiative 7 at the same target? And the short answer is yes. And why is that? I go into that in detail here into our quick tips video. It's as efficient as possible. It's under the 5-minute cap, but barely. Man, I had to edit that video to make sure it was under five. Because I was like, anyway. go ahead, take a look at it. Lots of good information there, and just gives it as clearly as I could possibly convey. And you get to see Dion in a hotel room there, if that tickles your fancy for whatever reason, because I was in a hotel room when I recorded it. As for what have we done with our plans, Lord Vader, we got two upcoming events that they're a little bit far away, but they're the next two that are coming. We have the Outrider Team Tournament. Now, we are going. I am on the fence as to whether or not I'm going to stream it. And I will be 100% honest with my reasoning. So I'm the team captain for the Chicago, and I'm super excited to play in it. Now, of course, I'm playing, not casting. And I could just leave the camera running and all that. But then I understand that you guys want your stats, and you guys, honestly, I 100% believe that the best streamed X-Wing has a commentator. So I'm coming up with some solutions for that. I'm trying to see if I can make it work. If I can, then we'll at least have some recorded games available for you guys to watch. And then the other major event that's coming is the Phoenix System Open. That happens in... That's the next one. I was going through my calendar. That's the one after that. So super excited. I believe that is late January. And we will do it. Yep. Trying to think if there's anything else before we close this down. Am I forgetting anything? Will, am I forgetting anything?
No, I think you're covering it all.
Okay, cool. Well,
go through the slides. Got any more slides?
No, I had a random PAX Unplugged again in there for whatever
reason.
Are
you sure it was random?
Yes. Go watch. No, here, I'll make it not random. Are you ready? Here we go. Make sure to watch our YouTube coverage of the PAX Unplugged. It's on YouTube. See? Nailed it.
There you go.
You can watch all of our live X-Wing events at twitch.tv/goldsquadronpodcast. Our next stream is this Wednesday, tomorrow, from our league night. I've been noticing the audience for that has been growing, which is super awesome to see. And yeah, super excited. We did figure out how to have players self-track their stats. It worked for game one and for game two. And then when we got to game three, it stopped working. So I'm going to try to solve that tomorrow. Hopefully it doesn't stop working again. Because, of course, I did not notice because I was playing and things and stuff. But anyway, YouTube, please like and subscribe to videos. So here, we made our goal, by the way. I made a goal while we were at Philadelphia. It's like, hey, let's try to get 5,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel. We did it. We have over 5,000 subscribers.
What?
Yeah. Let me go ahead and look at the exact number right now. Loading.
Oh, man. This says 499.9.
Oh, did we lose some?
No, I said, if it does, I'll be real disappointed.
Oh, no, dude. No. I would be so sad. No, I know. We went over. Yeah, we have 5,019 subscribers on YouTube.
Nice.
Yeah. So super excited.
Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for subscribing. It it helps the channel. We're spreading the word out there and making sure that people have access to this X-Wing content. And lastly, but most importantly, if you enjoy the content that we bring and you want to help support bringing X-Wing across the world and expanding our content, you can go to patreon.com/goldsquadron. And thank you to everybody who has become a patron. I am literally, as soon as I'm done with this, I am going to export the video and the audio and get that uploaded and then run down to my basement and start packing Patreon swag. I put things in the little plastic card protectors already. Like it's in the basement. So you guys don't have them here, but all of those are in the card protectors already. And then my next step is to start putting them in envelopes and stamps because they already have the addresses on them and start getting those out. We do the squad leader tier first, and then we roll it down. I should have all of those shipped, my hope is, by Friday, and then I'll follow that up by shipping out stream prizes and all of that. Will, do you have any shout-outs, anything else that you want to anything you want to say?
No, I'm excited for the 13th, man. Oh.
Yeah.
It'll be very interesting. I'm not quite sure what we're going to start with first, but I think it's going to be those bombers.
All right. I mean, I bought three of them, so I haven't played it one time, and I bought three of them.
I don't think you could fit three anymore.
No?
You might be out of luck on that.
All right. Well, I'll see if I could trade one to somebody or something.
Oh, yeah, 11 points afterwards. I don't know if that's enough. You can only buy two bombs with that.
Oh no!
You can only buy two bombs with that.
Can I put? I can't put like three of them naked.
You can put three of them naked. You got 11 points after that.
Yeah, easy. I don't need bombs. I have a three dice attack that's out the front.
Totally fair.
Everything's I'll fine.
Prove it. Put it on the board.
Put it on the board. All right. Do you guys want that to be my first resistance list? I'll do it. I'll do it for you guys. Listen, I will do it. I will put it on the table at League Night and be like, here we go. Three naked bombers. Let's see what happens. Oh, man. Yeah, thank you guys so much for watching. I love all of you. Thank you for supporting the content. And I see somebody asking, Dion, what's the mystery card, though? That's why it's a mystery. You'll find out when you open it. You find out what you open it. I could do this thing because actually I have the card. It's right here. You can't see it. It's on my table. It's right here. I'm touching it right now. But you can't see it yet until you open up your envelope. So I'll talk to you guys later. For Will, my name is Dion Morales. Gold Squadron